Okay, since the weather canceled our shiur this morning, I am recording Parsha questions, and hopefully this will be something of a substitute for the live discussion. Feel free to email me, as always, with your thoughts, questions, and comments. Parshas Truma. The Parsha begins with Hashem telling Moshe that the Jews are going to need to take up a collection of materials for the Mishkan. It gives a nice long list of all the things that they're supposed to collect. And then Hashem says, V'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham, they shall make for me a mikdash, a sanctuary. I will dwell in their midst. Kechol asher ani mar'eh osecha, and build it according to everything I show you. Eis tavnis ha-mishkan, the form of the Mishkan. Tavnis kol kelav, the form of all of the implements. V'chein ta'asu, and so shall you do. And those last words are the problem. This is Shmos Perek Chafei, chapter 25, Pesukim Chazintah, sentences 8 and 9. Our problem right off the bat is the words, and so shall you do, don't seem to fit. You already said, make a mikdash for me according to everything that I'm going to show you. What are you adding with, and so shall you do? So the Gemara in Shavuos, Yadalad Amid Beis, Tesvav Amid Aleph, on the sheet I brought it to you in Rashi, in source number 2, says that V'chein ta'asu means V'chein ta'asu l'doros. This is what you shall do for all time throughout the generations. And Rashi expands and explains, if one of the kelim, if one of the implements is lost, if you need to make a new kli for the Beis HaMikdash, something happened to the one you had, a new shulchan, a new kiyor, whatever it is, make them according to this form that I'm showing you now. So everything that you create for the Beis HaMikdash should be modeled on what you're doing in the Mishkan. That's what V'chein ta'asu teaches me. Not just do this now, but do it for the future. Great. Except what Ramban notes. Ramban points out that in practice there were changes. He points out the size of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is a larger Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. So some justify and say you're allowed to change the size, just not the general form or ratio. The Mizrahi, the Abarbanel has that idea. The Or HaChaim has it from the Gemara in Zvachim. And that's certainly an answer for the Mizbeach. The Maharal in his Gur Aryeh offers another suggestion that the Mizbeach was unique and only the Mizbeach could be different. Okay, that's fine. The problem is the Mizbeach is not the only change. We had other changes, as I listed for you in source number 3 on the sheet. Shlomo makes 10 menorahs, 10 shulchanos, 10 tables. He has 2 additional kruvim, aside from the 2 that stand on the Aron, he has, in the Kodesh Kadashim, in the Holy of Holies, he has 2 more that stand on the ground in the Kodesh Kadashim. So Shlomo's not doing everything the way that it is in the Mishkan. What do you do with these additional changes? So you could make arguments and say, well, it's fine to make extra menoros as long as they're the same as the first. Maybe you could certainly suggest that, I suppose. You can just give the answer that Radbaz gives, and the Radak gives, and the Divrei David, the Taz on the Torah, and the Or HaChaim, and the Chasam Sofer. If you take a look at source number 5, I brought it to you from Radbaz, and his answer is to say, don't ask me why this is. It's a Navi. Everything that Shlomo did was via Nevuah. There's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim that says that the design of the Beis HaMikdash that David had was, in fact, given to him via a prophecy. There's some discussion about which Navi and how this was transmitted. But fundamentally, everything that Shlomo is doing is b'Nevuah. But that really doesn't answer the question, right? Because Hashem said, V'chein ta'asu, this is what you shall do. So that means this is what Hashem wanted. So why did it change? Why is Hashem sending a Navi now with new instructions? Not to mention we have a principle, a Navi Rashi L'Chadesh Davar Me'ata, a Navi is not allowed to change the Torah. If a Navi comes to you and says to you, forget the law of Shatnez, we're throwing that out. Kashrus, it was good in its own time. We're not doing that anymore. Or Kashrus is this way instead. Cows are now treif. Like, you don't listen to the Navi. There's such a thing as a temporary dispensation, a Rosh Shah, but a Navi doesn't get to simply rewrite the Torah. So, what do we do? That's our question. Why were there changes in the Beis HaMikdash if our Parsha says no changes? So commentators seem to suggest that despite everything we've said, there was reason for change in the Beis HaMikdash, for each change individually. So Abarbanel, for example, in source number 6, says that Shlomo makes the Beis HaMikdash much bigger and with greater materials, stone, fine wood. Why? Because now you have a permanent location in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it should be grand, it should be large, it should be a marvelous construction for Hashem. You take a look at the Abarbanel in source number 6. There's a Medrash brought in the Otz and Midrashim, which I brought you here in source number 7, that says that we needed 10 Shulchanot now, because the Shulchan with the bread on it is about davening to Hashem for Parnassa, and specifically for agricultural success. That's why we have the bread on the Shulchan. It is a tefillah. Well, in the Midbar, you didn't need to daven for agricultural success because you didn't really need produce. Everything's coming down from Shemayim. Maybe it's davening for the month, but that's only one Shulchan. You move into Eretz Yisrael, now you have a need for greater agricultural success, so now you need to have 10 Shulchanot. 10 Minorot. Why do I have 10 Minorot? Because now I am davening for or regarding the 70 nations of the world. So 10 Minorot, because you have 7 candles, 7 lamps on each menorah. 10 times 7 is 70, 70 nations of the world. So you're increasing for that purpose in Eretz Yisrael. Why didn't you need to do that in the Midbar? Maybe because we were isolated there. Rav Amnon Bazak points out that you have new kruvim standing on the floor in the Kodesh Kadashim. That reflects the permanence of the site. Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the Nefesh HaChaim, points out that the new kruvim partly face away from each other, because in Eretz Yisrael we need to live a life which is in this world as well as in Shamayim. In other words, let's unpack that a little bit. I brought you the Nefesh HaChaim in source number 9. He says, when the Jews are in the Midbar, their entire life is focused on Hashem. So that is represented by the Kruvim, which face each other. However, when they move into Eretz Yisrael, now they need to run a country. You need to live a life that's in this world. You have to have a focus that's also a little bit turned away. You still need Hashem in it, obviously. Nonetheless, you have a broader focus, and therefore the new Kruvim partially face away from each other, reflecting what life would be like in this world. There's a lot to be said about the Kruvim, the way they face away from each other, the Gemara on that, but that's Rav Chaim Volozhiner, as I brought you in source number 9. What we're seeing here is, even though our parsha said do it this way, there is a recognition that circumstances are going to change. And this demonstrates concretely something that we naturally suspect. We need to shape our focus on Hashem, taking into account our needs and our reality, not to eliminate, chas v'shalom, anything from the Torah, but to enhance and to shape what we can. To add personal tefillos for our changing needs, like with the 10 shulchanos and like the 10 menorot. To improve the physical trappings of our davening. What we wear, the sitter we use, the space that we're in. If the other aspects of our lives are being materially upgraded, like the Jews entering Eretz Yisrael, so now it's time for the structure in which we daven to reflect our new circumstances. To relate to Hashem in both our spiritual and material existences as fits each, like with the Kruvim. Chasam Sofer makes a very interesting point here, and I think it really carries it home. Chasam Sofer says, V'chein ta'asu does not mean build it just like it was in the Mishkan. V'chein ta'asu means just like, if you look back earlier in the Pasuk, just like ani mar'eh oscha, just like I am showing you, Moshe, what it's supposed to be like, and that's what you're supposed to build in the Mishkan, so too in the future, not build it according to the same form that we used in the Mishkan, build it according to what I show you. Hashem is going to guide us in each generation with what we need, and we are supposed to build it according to that. Now the Chasam Sofer is talking about Nevi'im. Hashem is going to send you Nevi'im. So when you build a Beis HaMikdash, you will have a Navi, and the Navi will tell you what to do. In our era, we don't have Nevi'im. So we need to do the best that we can in ways that are permitted until we have Nevi'im again. But the message the Chasam Sofer says here is, we are going to need to be in the position of upgrading, updating for our new circumstances. V'chein ta'asu. As we did in the Mishkan, so shall we do in the future.